Please remain standing. Wow, what wonderful worship. We are so blessed. This morning, as we come to God's Word, please turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. Colossians 3, and we'll begin reading at verses 12 through 13, and this morning we'll study through 17. But let's read these two verses first. Verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. As we're studying in this great book of Colossians this morning, we're reminded of the theme, which is Jesus Christ is the preeminent Lord, an all-sufficient Savior. As we understand, as we go into chapter 3, the first two chapters is about Jesus Christ, the great Lord and Savior and preeminent creator of all things. And it's about Christ and His great gospel. And then, beginning in the second two chapters, this chapter that we're in today, in chapter 3, he begins to say, so what does that mean in your life and my life? How do we live this out? How do we live in light of the great work of Christ, the great person of Christ? And so in chapter 3, where we're picking up today, God begins to teach and instruct us through this book. How do we live out that new life that we have in Christ? With that in mind, let's look at verse 1. You can keep that Colossians 3 open, because we're going to go through several verses, and really 1 through 17. Look with me in verse 1 and let's read that, because it gives good insight into our passage for today. Verse 1 says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things of this earth. In this passage, he says, if then you've been raised in Christ, if you've become a believer, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you understand that Jesus Christ is the one and only way to God, and you've come to the point where you've surrendered and trusted, and now you were dead and now you're raised in Christ. And so he's bridging all those last two chapters into chapter 3, and he says, if that's you, if you've been raised in Christ, then he says here in verse, do two things, seek and set. Seek. He says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. We're to seek the things of Christ. We're to seek Christ himself, to seek the word of Christ. And then he says, set. We're to set our mind. Make sure that we set our heart, our mind, and everything in us, that we would set our mind on Christ and the things of Christ, those things which are above, where Christ is. And so we're to seek and set. And then he unfolds this concept in all the way in chapter 3 and 4, but specifically here in chapter 3 today. Look at verse 5. Because there he says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And then he starts naming and sharing the things that we're to put off in our life or to put to death. We're saved. If you've trusted in Christ, then you're a new creation in Christ, yes. But we daily, to walk with Christ, we have to put off, we have to mortify, or here, put to death those things that the old self that God is continuing to conform into the image of Christ. And he says, put those things to death. Take those off. Put them off of your life. Get rid of those things. And then in verse 12, where we are today, he says, put on. Put on those things of Christ. When you look at this and you look in the Greek, the concept or the mindset is clothing. The robe of Christ or the clothes of Christ or just our clothing. And so what he's saying is, hey, don't wear those old clothes. You know, don't wear them. Take those off. Put on the new clothes that Jesus has given you and wear those. That's the concept. And as we think through that concept, as I was studying, immediately my mindset went to John chapter 11, that great passage where Jesus, his best friend Lazarus, has passed away. He's died. And Jesus comes 4 days later and he comes up and he meets Mary and Martha, and Martha specifically. And she said, Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And he says, this has happened that I might be glorified. And then he went over to the tomb and he said, roll the stone away. And they rolled the stone away. And then he yelled, Lazarus, come out. What happened? Lazarus came out. Now, as you read the passage, it says he came out bound with the grave clothes. What we have to understand is that's 70 to 100 pounds. He was wrapped and wrapped and wrapped and wrapped again. And he had 70 to 100 pounds of old grave clothes. And his sister Martha had told the Lord, he said, Lord, I don't know if you want to remove that stone. He's been there 4 days and right now it's not going to smell good. She had told him that. And so he came out in these old dead, the clothes that they had wrapped him in when he had died. And I could see him kind of probably bouncing out, and he gets to the openness of the tomb. And Jesus says, take those old clothes off of him. Unbind him. What's not said is he had to put on the new clothes, the clothes of life. Take off those dead clothes, the clothes of death, and put on the clothes of life. That's so important for this passage, because now what Jesus is telling us today in this passage is for you and me, if we've trusted in Christ, we're raised in Christ, put on those clothes of life. Don't wear the clothes of death. Those are gone. The new has come in Christ. So we are clothed in Christ. In verse 12, let's look at the first few words there in verse 12. We're clothed in Christ. It's important that we know this, that in verse, it says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Listen to who Christ says that you are. Let's just stop right there. Because it says you're a new identity, or who you are in Christ. He says, this is who you are. This is the clothes that I've clothed you with, that you're supposed to walk with. But this is what you have. This is who you are. You're God's chosen ones. You're God's chosen ones. Before time began, God decided to set his love on you and me and to call us to himself. You're God's chosen ones. You're the ones who God has given all the promises. All those promises in the scripture are amen. They're true and right. They're for you. The people of God, the family of God, the chosen ones of God. And then he says, holy. He says, you're holy. You may go, Benny, you don't know me. I'm not holy. This isn't talking about our life as at this point. This is, and how we're living, we're all growing. There's no one perfect. We're all being perfected in Christ here. We will be perfected and glorified one day. Praise the Lord. What this is talking about is who you are in Christ. You're holy in Christ. You see, he clothed you. He robed you with his own righteousness. He put his robe upon you. Now the clothes of life. He gave you life eternal. He gave you his righteousness. He calls you and says, you are my holy one. You're chosen. You're my holy one. And you are much loved. You're the beloved one. You are the one that I've lavished my love upon. You're the one that I cherish. You're the one that I gave my only son for. You are my precious daughter. You're my precious son. I love you so. And so we have to understand as we go into this passage of who we are. This is what Christ has done. We are the chosen ones. We are the holy. We are the beloved. And then he goes on in this verse and he tells us, now make sure you walk with those clothes. Make sure you walk this way. And he says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on or wear these clothes, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And that's our clothes. That's what we're to wear every day. We're to wear the clothes of compassion, the love of Christ, where we love one another and we care for one another, that deep love and kindness, where we show goodness and care to one another. We're to put on the clothes of humility, where we show great value to each other and put others' interests above our own, of meekness, where we're gentle with one another and submit to one another. And then patience, where we're long-suffering and understanding of others. And as they grow, we're to be patient with one another. And then he moves on and says, these characteristics make us or move us that we also would bear with one another. That we would bear with one another in our homes, in our church, around us with our good friends. We have to bear with one another. We have to be patient and kind, and we have to help walk with each other as we're all growing. And he says, in bearing one another, then you need to forgive one another, which is our emphasis for today. You need to forgive one another. And then we see the new lifestyle that we have for Christ in verses 14 through 17. So let's read those because all of these are one unit. Let's read verse 14 through 17. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom and singing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So he says, this is our lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of love. Make sure you put on love above everything because all of these things flow out of love. Make sure you love God with all your heart. Make sure you love each other as yourself. Make sure you put on love. And then also make sure that the peace of Christ, it rules in your heart. You take everything to the scripture and you let Jesus give you his peace and walk in his truth, walk in his peace, which is the next thing that comes there. Walk in his love. Walk in his word. Make sure his word dwells in you, makes it home, its home in you, and make sure that you are constantly in the word and the word is in you, that you dwell in the word through worship like this, through daily worship, through fellowship with one another. And then, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do everything to glorify God. Make sure that you do these things. This is our lifestyle. And as we do these things, then those clothes of Christ will be evident to all. And we will be worshiping the Lord. Now let's go into that one aspect that we want to go in on of our clothes, our new clothes in Christ up in verse 12 and 13, and that's forgiveness. Let's focus in there because forgiveness is a powerful attribute of the love of Christ. And it's got such concentration in the word of Christ and how we're to relate to one another. Forgiveness is at the heart of the gospel. God wants you and I to know our forgiveness in Christ. He wants us to experience His forgiveness and our forgiveness of one another. And He wants us to walk in forgiveness with one another. So we are clothed with forgiveness in Christ. And this word forgiveness, or to forgive, is charizome in the scripture in the Greek. And if you notice there, the root word is charis, or grace. So forgiveness is this. Forgiveness is God's undeserved favor of you and me, where He graciously pardons us from having to pay the debt that we owe. In fact, He totally cancels that debt, and it never requires us to pay it. And from that grace, He gives up. He decided to punish His Son in our place, and we would not be punished. Through Christ, we would have eternal life and forgiveness. And that's the same concept of our forgiveness of one another, that undeserved favor, that we would graciously pardon each other, that we would not hold them liable for the debt that they owe us. In fact, we would totally cancel that debt, and we would never require them to pay it, and we'd give up the claim to punish them. We would take it upon ourselves and give it to God for the wrong that was done against us. That is forgiveness. And we are clothed with that kind of forgiveness in Christ. But we need to understand, to really understand the depth of forgiveness, we got to understand our great need for forgiveness in our life. A familiar passage in our church, but one we need to make sure, a couple that we highlight even this morning and remember, that the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. Every one of us, not one, is without sin. We've all sinned. And the wages of our sin is death in Romans 6:23. There's no exception. Every one of us were born into sin. And because of that, we have sinned against God. And then that rightful punishment, or that rightful penalty, or the rightful result of that is death. Separation from God. It's spiritual death too, that we would not only be separated from Him, but that we would pay that, the punishment, in torment in a place called hell. That is what you and I deserve. So there's a great need for our forgiveness. Ephesians 2 verses 1 and 3 says, "For you, all of you, every one of you were dead in the trespasses of sin, and trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." So God in Scripture says we have a serious condition without Christ. We have a serious condition that we're born in. We're born dead. We're born enemies of God. We're born children of wrath, of that great punishment, the wrath of God. We're born helpless. We're born hopeless. We need forgiveness. Praise God that in this passage in Ephesians 2, 1 and 3, He moves on to verse 4. Hear this. "But God, being rich in His mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." What great news. By grace, you have been saved. Jesus Christ paid our debt in full. But that's really hard to believe for some of us. It's really hard when we sin over and over to go, "Can God really forgive me?" I was several years ago, I was talking to a young man in his 20s. And I was talking to him just about life, and I didn't know him, he didn't know me. And we interacted some. And he loved to talk about himself. And so I listened. And then I turned the conversations towards spiritual things, and he just wasn't very interested at all when I started talking to him about Christ and about where he, you know, did he go to church? No. What did he think about God? Not much. And then he would turn back the attention on himself. And I said, well, hey, let's get back together sometime. And we did. And I listened to him most of the time, again, tell me how great he was and all the things he had done. And just, you know, he loved to talk about himself. And so he did that. And we sat there a while. And then I turned the conversation back to spiritual things. And he listened a little more. And I told him my testimony. And then happening, you know, we met again. And God started softening his heart. And one day I looked at him and I said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure, go ahead. I said, what do you believe you've ever sinned? And he said, oh, yeah, you wouldn't believe what all I've done. I've been in prison, you know, in jail several times. And he went on to tell me all the things or several things he had done and people he had hurt and situations he had been in. And he said, so, yeah, I don't have any doubt that I've sinned and that I'm a sinner. Don't, you know, I definitely got that. And I said, well, do you believe Jesus can forgive your sin? He goes, no, I don't think so. I said, really? So let me ask you another question. Do you think God is bigger and greater than you? And he said, yeah, definitely. I know he's bigger and greater than me. I said, well, okay. Do you think God is bigger and greater than your sin? And he stopped. And he looked at me and hesitated, and he said, I know the right answer is yes, but I just can't believe it. I deserve to pay for all these wrong things I've done. I don't deserve any forgiveness. And I said, you know what? You're right. You don't deserve forgiveness, and neither do I. We do deserve to pay for it, but God loves you. And he gave his only son for you. And I shared the gospel and he died on the cross for you. And he paid your penalty for you. All you need to do is receive him. And he said, yeah, I just don't know if God can forgive me. Well, we got back together in about a week or so and we were talking. And he said, hey, you know this forgiveness thing we were talking about? And I said, yeah. He goes, I think I'm ready to ask Jesus to forgive me. I was shocked. I wish I wasn't, but I was shocked. I was surprised that he came and he said, I know I need it. I know I need Jesus. I said, all right. And we prayed and he received Christ right there. His life was changed immediately. He was so self-absorbed, but all of a sudden he became a servant to other people. He was kind of brash. All of a sudden he became kind. I mean, all of a sudden you saw these clothes coming out or this fruit coming out of his life and started loving other people instead of obviously loving himself so much that he did. And his life was radically changed because he came to the point where God showed him that Jesus Christ had paid his sin, paid for all his sin and paid that penalty in full on the cross. And he received him as Lord and Savior. His life was radically changed. Because he understood Jesus paid that penalty for his sin. Also, another thought is Jesus forgives all our sin when we receive him as our Lord and Savior. That's so important for us to remember as we understand our forgiveness in Christ, that every sin that Jesus has paid for everyone, and on the cross he forgave us of all our sin. Bruce read Colossians 1:13. I'm going to read Colossians now, chapter 2, verse 13, and go through 14. If you'd like to read along with me, or you can listen. And listen to this beautiful picture of the forgiveness in Christ. And you, that's all of you who have received him, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. That's God's forgiveness. That's God's great work for you and for me. Listen, chapter in verse 13, you all of you, you and me, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were dead. And God made us alive When we become a Christian, all of a sudden we are those who are raised in Christ. He has made us alive in Him. How? He forgave us of all our trespasses. Did you see that? How many? Every sin has been forgiven. All of your, how many sins were there that you had 2,000 years ago? All of your sins, okay? When Jesus died 2,000 years ago, every one of your sins were in the future. So Jesus Christ died for you. All of the sins that you've committed in the past, they're gone. All of the sins that are here now, He's forgiven them. All the sins that are in the future, He's forgiven them. Notice this. He canceled the record of debt. He wiped the slate clean. He canceled the record of debt and wiped that slate clean in your life. You had all, it's as if all of our sins were listed and we were guilty without a doubt. And they're listed here. And then He came and He wiped it clean and He put forgiven. Righteous in Christ. Now in its place, the record of debt is all wiped clean. How? Because He nailed them to the cross. Your sin and my sin. When Jesus was on the cross, when He said your sins were nailed to the cross. When? When Jesus was nailed to the cross. When He was on the cross, your sins were on Him, were laid on Him. He became sin. He took on every sin. Every one of your sins. And He paid for those sins. Isaiah 43:25 says, I am He who blots out the transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sin. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. He's taken our sins away. He's blotted them out. He's removed them. He's totally wiped them clean. As Horatio G. Stafford said, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Our soul says, praise the Lord that Jesus Christ forgave us of all our sin. And He gave us these clothes of forgiveness. He's clothed us in forgiveness. And He's clothed us in His righteousness. And now He tells us we're to clothe ourselves by forgiving other people. We're to walk in this forgiveness as He has forgiven us. That's what He says. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Pretty powerful statement. Boy, we love forgiveness. We love that we're forgiven. How hard is it for us to forgive one another? It's difficult when somebody sins against us, when somebody does us wrong, to then forgive them just the same way Jesus forgave us. But that's what God tells us to do. Pastor Reeder, in one of his sermons, defined forgiveness this way. He says, forgiveness is extending the grace of God that you have experienced from Christ to others by freely committing yourself to not hold them personally liable for their sins against you. So we extend grace to one another and we forgive them and we don't hold them liable to pay for that sin. We totally wipe the slate clean like Jesus did in our life. Forgiveness is a way of life for a Christian because we all have to bear with one another. As this passage says, none of us are perfect. And so we do sin against each other. It's just what happens. We don't want to, but we do wrong things. We say wrong things. And they do to us. And so forgiveness is a way of life for the Christian. We have to understand forgiveness. We need to walk in forgiveness. We need to extend forgiveness in love and grace and bearing with one another quickly and not hold on to it. It can be tough, can't it? It can be very difficult to really forgive other people. It's not easy. My mom, her mother, abandoned their family. And she had a lot of opportunity to learn about forgiveness, and she did. She forgave her mom. When I was in my teens, my mom told me about Corrie Ten Boom and said, "This book, The Hiding Place of Corrie Ten Boom, has really helped me in forgiveness." And she read a lot of it to me, and we had several conversations over the course of a year, year and a half, that my grandmother actually was living with us. And my mom told me about how she had forgiven her mom and how these passages that we're reading today and others helped her, and also the story of Corrie Ten Boom. You see, Corrie Ten Boom was born in Haarlem, Netherlands in 1892, and she was in a strong Christian family. During World War II, her family harbored hundreds of Jews to protect them from being arrested by the Nazis. Well, she was betrayed by someone who she thought was a friend, another Dutch citizen. And her whole entire family was imprisoned in Nazi camp. And Corrie's father, Casper, and her sister, Betsy, that she just adored, both died in the Nazi camp. And she was tortured. She was treated horribly. But God miraculously released her, and she began to tell others about Christ and forgiveness and what she had learned. She tells this story in one of her writings, how she had to learn to forgive because it was so hard. The pain was deep. The hurt was deep. And one day she was faced with having to forgive a guard who came up to her and said, "Hey, Miss Ten Boom, I've become a Christian, and I want to ask you, will you forgive me?" And he reached his hand out to Corrie. And she said she stood paralyzed, and the pain and the hurt was all inside, and she couldn't lift her hand, and she couldn't put it out. And she said she whispered a prayer in her heart and said, "God, help me love this guard. Help me love him the way you love him. God, give me love for him." She said, I couldn't do anything except just lift my arm up. She says, as I lifted my arm up, all of a sudden I felt a warmth come across me and come into my heart, down my shoulder, into my hand. And I reached and I shook this guard's hand and told him, "I forgive you. I forgive you." She said, all of a sudden, God's forgiveness of me, and he gave me the ability to forgive all those who had done my family wrong and me wrong. And it was by his grace. A couple of quotes by Corrie Ten Boom this morning. She said, "Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart." That's important. We need to forgive whether we feel like it or not. We need to extend forgiveness to others and then let God bring the emotion, let God bring the feeling to follow. She also said, "Forgiveness is the key which unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. It breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. The forgiveness of Jesus not only takes away our sin, it makes them as if they never had been." Jesus' forgiveness in our lives moves us to forgive other people. And so as the scripture says, we must forgive. We must forgive one another. We must forgive each other. In fact, Jesus in Matthew 6, 14, 15 says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Forgiveness isn't an option according to Jesus. It's a must. It's a command that we need to obey. To not forgive is sin against God. To forgive, though, shows that we have experienced his great, deep, unbelievable forgiveness in our life. His grace, his love, his mercy. You see, his love and mercy and grace and forgiveness is both our motivation to forgive others and our model to forgive others. C.S. Lewis said, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Our sins are inexcusable, but he forgave you and me. And he tells us now, forgive others just as I've forgiven you. Well, good news is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, will give you and I the strength and the ability to be able to forgive others the way that Jesus has forgave us. He gives us the strength and ability. If you look there in those verses of 14 through 17, as we walk in the love of Christ, as we let the peace of Christ rule in our life, as we have the Word of God really dwelling in us, as we live for the glory of the name of Christ, as we do this, then he strengthens us to live the Christian life. He puts on our clothes, but we are able to put on the clothes of Christ, of forgiveness and love and compassion and peace and patience. We're able to do that as we walk in his word and his love and his peace and for his glory. This morning, we need to walk clothed in the forgiveness of Christ. Let me ask you a couple of questions here as our in our conclusion, as our takeaways. Are you clothed in Christ's forgiveness this morning? As I've talked about this amazing, unbelievable forgiveness in Christ, what he's done for me and for you, for many of you here, is there someone here? Are you here and you're like my friend that I met and I was talking to and you've never done that? Don't let today go by without trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He loves you so. He wants to forgive you of all your sin. You just need to come to him, surrender your life and trust him. And he will forgive every sin. Do that today. Don't wait. Do it today. Secondly, for those of us who've done this, we need to remember. We need to remember every day just how great the forgiveness of Christ is. Don't let the gospel go old in your life, because you'll become bitter. You'll become, life will be so unworth living if you don't think about the great Jesus and all his work that he's done in your life and my life. Thank him for what he's done. Make sure that you remember his great forgiveness and that you walk in it. When we sin, because we will, go to him, confess our sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Walk in that forgiveness every day. Be quick to go to him and make sure that we're remembering and walking in the forgiveness of Christ. And then lastly, let's wear the clothes of Christ, the forgiveness clothes of Christ. Is there somebody that you haven't forgiven? As I've been talking today, and it's just like the Spirit of God saying, yeah, you need to forgive this person. Do that today. Let God deal with that situation. You surrender it to him and you extend forgiveness. Don't make them pay you. God will take care of it. You forgive them. Forgive that person, whoever it is. And as we go through the day, each day, I promise you, you're going to have an opportunity this week to forgive somebody. Okay? It might be me. I don't know. But you're going to have that opportunity. But walk in the clothes of forgiveness this week. Make sure that we do that today and every day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your great love. Thank you that you have poured out your love upon us and you've forgiven us of all our sin. Thank you, God, for giving us the opportunity to be your examples, or to show your love and grace and mercy and forgiveness to our brothers and sisters in Christ that are here today and that are in our church and in our city. Let God help us to walk daily in forgiveness because of your great love you have for us and your forgiveness. Father, help us wear those clothes of forgiveness today. In each day of our life. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.